The conditions under which cattle can be imported will vary depending on the source of the cattle. And what the Department of Agriculture have done is to update the import permit requirements, and they're all available on the Department of Agriculture website. So anybody who's looking to import cattle can access the Department of Ag website and download the appropriate livestock biosecurity form, which is LB1.
If we could, you know, work on an example, say if I'm in the Kimberley and want to buy a bull from Queensland, what does this mean for me?
It means that you'll be able to import bulls from properties that have met the conditions that were existing prior to this change and that probably have been supplying bulls for the last few years since the incursion in 2012. So if you were in the protected area, which Queensland was, and you have had a sample test of your cattle for BJD within the last 12 months, which all bull suppliers who have supplied cattle to the Fitzroy Crossing Sale will have met that standard previously, they will still be able to, under the same conditions, export their bulls across to WA for this season.
Why did the IMC go against the DAFWA Economic Impact Report?
We didn't. The IMC and the BJD Advisory Committee didn't go against the report. The report is a it's a theoretical study of the cost and complexity of transmission of BJD that goes out over about 30 years.
And I'll just jump in to say that it concluded that it's unlikely the disease will cause significant production and associated economic loss in the WA cattle industry, which brings the question of why bring in regulation.
Well, it's maintaining regulation, not bringing in regulation, because WA has had regulation. It's maintaining it because, in essence, the West Australian industry stated that, and quite rightly, that the WA herd is known to be and believed to be effectively BJD free. The rest of Australia is deregulated because they believe that they have endemic BJD and that it's no longer controllable. There is a known cost to BJD, and there's a range of other issues, including animal welfare. The West Australian industry believes that there will be opportunity to control BJD through this regulation at a time in which the technology that supports testing, vaccination is moving reasonably quickly, and would prefer to continue to ensure that the West Australian cattle herd is kept as BJD free as possible until such time as that technology develops to allow different decisions to be made, or until such time as a surveillance program, which is part of a necessary part of the regulatory program, determines that the status of the cattle herd in Western Australia isn't what we thought it was, and then it can make, again, different decisions and if necessary, deregulate.
Okay. And when's that surveillance likely to start?
It will start as soon as possible, as soon as practically possible. The regulation effectively comes into effect this week, this change from the interim regulation to this new set of regulations. That happens this week. Department of Agriculture have provided some draft costings of a surveillance program, which is in line with what was forecast when the decision was made that regulation was appropriate. In the coming few weeks, there'll be further work done on that cost structure, and then that will be put before the IMC, which will then consult with industry and work out, one, how the program will be delivered, and two, how it will be costed, and how that cost will be borne by the industry.
Yeah, so who pays for it? The industry.
Absolutely. That was clear from day one, and the industry pays for all specified pests under the auspices of the IMC, whether that's in the sheep industry or the grain industry or in this case the cattle industry. And BJD is a specified pest and is being handled under the IMC, under the BAM Act, as a specified pest. So its industry pays, absolutely. It is also, the industry will bear the cost and consequences if we have major BJD incursions in the state and we have, whether that's as an individual producer or whether that's more broadly across the trade access issues that may fall from that.
Now, when surveillance starts up, what are the consequences for a property if it's found to have BJD?
Well, the consequences will be that it will be effectively fall under a quarantine, and it will have then a range of options as to what it can do with cattle on that property. Now, the industry hasn't determined a set course of action relative to what it will do or whether it can or won't support a particular property through compensation, etc., because it will very much depend on the nature of the incursion, the size of the property and the economic cost of doing so. It may be that there's a very minor cost and it's a limited incursion, or it could be, in the worst case, the largest properties and the largest herds of cattle are in the north of Australia. So a property that had 50 or 60,000 cattle on it would have a significantly different consequence to a property in the southwest that had 5 cattle on it, for example.
There's been a BJD advisory committee as part of all of this. Keen to know if there's been difference of opinions between the north and the south.
There's certainly been different views expressed both at the BJD advisory committee and more generally in the industry as to the consequences, who should bear the cost, whether it's relative to regulate or deregulate. For the people in the north who think that they should deregulate and be like the rest of Australia, well, I think that they should note a couple of things. The first one is the territories chosen to regulate. They're our nearest neighbour. They are also concerned about the impact on their territorial herd if there's open access. I think that there's a fair view in Queensland that parts of Queensland are also uncomfortable with the deregulated position that is taken across the eastern seaboard. So given the significant role that live export plays in the north and the increasing sensitivity of BJD to our live export markets, and I think Japan sort of highlighted that last year, there's certainly, in my view, it's in the state's interest to protect our BJD status for as long as it is economically viable to do so. Now, I think that the question that you came to before relative to what happens if surveillance finds something, if the surveillance program determines that we, like we think we have a very low prevalence or no prevalence of BJD, then I think it justifies and vindicates the position that we've taken that we should protect that. If, on the other hand, it determines that there is a background level of BJD that is significant and we are informed of that and can make an informed decision, and that informed decision is that we now know enough to be able to say, well, regulation is unnecessary. There's no real benefit in regulation because we've got this background level of BJD that we were unaware of before. Then the industry can make that decision and deregulate at that point in time.